Thank you. May be seated.
Mary, sweet Mary, your heart overflows. Deep in the night, child, a babe is born. Sacred and holy, blameless and pure. Mary, sweet Mary, tonight your child is born. Mary, sweet Mary, so strong yet so frail. Carried a baby sent to save the world. Wise men will seek him and find in him peace. Mary, sweet Mary, tonight your king is born. All of the earth stood so still and so peacefully. Mary, sweet precious child, blessed redemption is found in his eyes. All creatures, great and small, he came for all. Mary, sweet Mary, tonight you're saved.
My dear son, my one and only son, I write this letter to you with the deepest love a father could have. I am so very proud of you, not because of everything you have accomplished or everything that you will accomplish, but just for being who you are. You were with me from the very beginning. You were with me before time even begun.
I tell you the truth, Jesus answered. Before Abraham was born, I am.
Together we spoke the word, and it was so. Through our words, everything came into being.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made.
In order to share of ourselves with a motive of pure love, we created the universe together and everything in it.
For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him.
With the purpose of love, we created mankind, even though we knew they would reject us and bring sin into the world. Sin that would bring darkness to the world, a spiritual death to all people. Sin that would put a separation between them and us. But still, our love for them is as powerful and eternal as we are. To bring the good news that one day you would arrive as the rightful king, a perfect sacrifice, to save the world from the sin that they brought in.
Rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Shout, daughters of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey.
You, my son, will be born in Bethlehem. This will be one of the signs that the prophecies are being fulfilled. A sign to all people that we will carry out everything that we have promised to them.
Oh,
son, my dear precious son, now is the time that you must go as a light to those living in the world of darkness. It is the time to sacrifice all the comforts of paradise and leave your heavenly throne.
But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law.
You will still be fully God, but you will also become fully man, with earthly limitations.
The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
My precious son, in obedience you chose to be the ultimate sacrifice, to come down to earth as humble as a servant. You chose to leave all majesty and be a servant to all mankind.
Who, being the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness.
And not only that of a servant, you chose to become something which could be despised and further rejected.
He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not.
And still you remain obedient, and will reach out to the people on my behalf. You will be going to them to represent me in the flesh, so that they will have the opportunity to observe a living example.
Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and now I am here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me."
And still you will remain obedient to my will, even unto death. Even knowing that in death, while taking on all the sins of all mankind, I will have to turn away from you. I will have to leave you there, all alone. But this is the only way they can be saved. I love them so much, I am willing to send you to do this very thing. To be the perfect sacrifice, to die for them in their place, and pay for their sins. Turning away from you as you do this very thing is what will bring me the greatest pain. This will be your greatest suffering. But I love them so very much.
And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me.
To carry out my will so that all people would have the opportunity to put sin away and come to me. With the purpose of love, we created the universe, only to be rejected by those we created. With the purpose of love, you will come down to earth to save, knowing you will be rejected again. But our purpose is to be carried out. It is the time. It is the time for you to go.
Oh,
My son, my one and only son, how dear and precious you are. You have gone to a world of darkness to be a light to all people.
I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness.
You will bring the light of life to a world of darkness, a world devoid of hope, to a sinful world. You will become salvation, so that by believing they can be forgiven and live with us for all eternity.
When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
Lights. We associate them with Christmas, don't we? My guess is we probably have more lights on at Christmas than any other time of the year. And there's a good chance that many of the lights that you have are already on. You probably have some lights adorning your Christmas tree. Maybe you have some battery-operated or some electric lights, the candles that are sitting there right in your window. Maybe you have a string of lights going across the eave of your house or on a shrub in front of your house. Or maybe you have a beautiful lighted Christmas village adorning your living room. I noticed when Bruce came to a men's prayer, and then as he left and he was driving out, I noticed he had his red and green lights around the license plate of his car. And just to see them circling like that, it was just very moving. And I was impressed when he told me this morning it was Kathy's idea. Light. We really associate that with Christmas. And there's good reason for doing that, because the Old Testament prophets did that as well. Because they likened to the coming of Jesus the Messiah to the dawning of light. For example, the prophet Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. And then he goes on a few verses later to identify the source of that light, beginning in verse 6. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom. The coming of Jesus is pictured as the dawning of a great light in a dark land. And on the night that God was born, God used light to announce the arrival of his son. He used light to announce the arrival of his son to the shepherds. The light came in the form of a manifestation of the glory of God among a host of angels. This is the way Luke describes it, beginning in chapter 2, verse 7. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terribly frightened, but the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And not only did he use light there to mark the birth of Jesus, but he also used light to get the attention of and give direction to the wise men when Jesus was born. The light came in the form of a bright star. So we read in Matthew 2:2, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews?" they ask. "For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." The darker it is, the more we appreciate light. You may have your Christmas tree lights on during the day, and it's really nice, but there's something about when the sun goes down. There's something about when those lights are on and it is dark. You are drawn to the light. You appreciate that light more than ever. Light and darkness are used in Scripture much the way they are used in our culture and just about every culture there is. Light and darkness are used to capture the difference between opposing realities. Things like life and death, truth and error, good and evil, knowledge and ignorance, hope and despair. And that imagery of light communicates in any culture. So when Jesus says something like, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And when he says, "I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness," he is saying a great deal. He is communicating a mouthful. He's letting us know that he is the one who dispels despair with hope. He's the one who replaces ignorance with knowledge. He's the one who overcomes evil with good. He's the one who exposes error with truth. He's the one who delivers us from death to life. Christmas is an incredible time to experience great joy because it celebrates the initial step in the historical unfolding of the life of Jesus. It celebrates his appearance in time and space from eternity past. The time that he began his journey from the cradle to the cross, from death to life, from earth back into the presence of God. And everything he accomplished during his appearance on earth, we can benefit from through our faith in him. Paul wrote how we benefit from that in Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 12. He said, "Giving thanks to the Father who qualified us to share in the inheritance in the saints in light." How did he do that? "For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Jesus came as light to a dark world to qualify us for what we are unqualified for. He came to earth to reveal the truth. He came to earth to pay for our sin that leaves us in darkness. He removes our sin through paying the penalty on the cross. We become credited with his righteousness that now qualifies us to be transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. We've been rescued from the kingdom of darkness, characterized by despair and ignorance, evil and error and death, and transferred to the kingdom of his beloved Son, characterized by hope and knowledge and goodness and truth, and most of all, life. Through faith, through our faith in Christ, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That is a great reason to be joyful at this time of year. And that is what we are celebrating. Lord, we just want to thank you that Jesus is the light. And everything that light communicates, he provides. We thank you, Father, that he speaks truth in a world that has been deceived by error. We thank you that those who walk in ignorance can be filled with knowledge through Jesus. We thank you that those who wallow in despair are given hope through Christ. We thank you that those who live in the fear of death have been given the hope of life eternal and life abundant. We thank you, Father, for what you sacrificed, and we thank you for what your Son sacrificed, so that we can celebrate the joy of Christmas. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Once again, I invite you to stand as we close our time out in song. For praise the one who breaks the darkness. Father, as we go forth from this place, Lord, may we be a light into a dark world and glorify Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.